Good evening, everyone. Well, my name is David, and I don't normally get this gig. I'm the youth pastor, and I normally get to teach on Wednesday and Sunday nights. But I got the invitation to preach, and I get the privilege of sharing God's word with you. So, praise God. I'm excited. And I've been invited to preach in the second week of our Advent series. You'll see on the screen behind me our Advent series. It's called Come Home for Christmas. And so we have been speaking, and for two more weeks we will be speaking on this topic of coming home. If you were here last weekend and you attended one of our traditional services, you received this invitation to come home to the light of the world. And tonight, God is inviting you to come home to his love for you. As we're moving into this Advent season, the season where we come together, I find this theme of coming home to be very relevant. We, during this season, as families, we come together. And so I would venture to say that some of you in this crowd, you have plans to travel home and to be with family. And maybe some of you, you will be staying here and you're going to be inviting your loved ones to come home. And during this holiday time, it's a time to be together. But I would venture to guess that we all have a different understanding of what home is. And so I want to ask this question: what makes home home? Maybe we grow attached to these places we live, and we ought to ask, what is it that makes home feel warm and familiar and secure? What makes your home special? Perhaps you would answer the question this way. You would say, home is where the Wi-Fi connects automatically. Yeah? Or maybe you would answer this way: home is where my cat is. And when I open the front door, my cat comes purring and rubbing up on my leg. Or maybe some of you, you prefer a classic saying, home is where the heart is. And you're more love-focused, you know. That's home. Maybe you've got an entirely different saying. Maybe you still haven't quite figured out what makes home home. And that's okay. But as I prepared to preach this weekend, I had to ask myself this question: what makes home home? And I pondered that for a while. You should know that I've lived what I think is a quite nomadic life. My feet haven't stayed on the ground very long. When I was a kid, my family moved me all around the country. And then as an adult, I lived down in Central Florida, and I lived in Kentucky for school. And most recently, I've moved here to Shalimar. I've been here for about 6 months, and I have to admit to you that when I first came, I couldn't make Shalimar feel like home. See, I would have days like this. I would wake up in the morning, and I would look around, and I would go, where am I? And I would have to come to this realization, oh, this is my house. I live here now. I would get out and run some errands around town, and I would get lost because I don't know the roads very well. And then at night, I would lay awake in bed, and I would think, what are these noises? I hear, you know, the hum of my air conditioning. I would hear the rattling of my refrigerator, and the gushing of sprinklers that come on at 2 in the morning. And I couldn't get over it. And above all of these things, I felt terribly lonely. I felt, for a time, disconnected, unknown, and all alone. And you should know, things have gotten so much better. I've met great people over the past 6 months. I've been starting to find my way around town. I'm really starting to feel like a local. And I've even started to get used to some of those weird noises, but not all of them. And I can finally say that Shalimar feels like home. Praise God. I believe deep down in my heart that God has sent me to Shalimar. God has called me, asked me to make Shalimar my home, and to make Shalimar UMC my home church. And in a very similar way, I believe that God the Father sent the Son, and he asked the Son, Jesus Christ, would you call this place your home? If you're reading from a Bible translation called The Message, you may have heard it put this way before. When we talk about Jesus coming to earth, calling it home, John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And yes, Christ has moved into our neighborhood. Christ has assumed our full humanity and yet remained fully divine. And I bet it really wasn't easy for Jesus to call this place his home. He was born into an itchy, scratchy bed of hay. He was cold, and he had to be wrapped in cloth and swaddled by his mother. Later in life, he would know what it's like to be hungry, to be hated and mocked. And in the end, he would know what it's like to suffer and die, just like me and you. And so we might ask ourselves, why is it that God would endure these hardships of the human condition? And the answer, I think, is found in just one word, and that word is love. So we're going to be talking about a very popular scripture verse today. This might be something that you've got bookmarked in your Bible, or you've got it memorized, and as we read, you're going to be mouthing along the words. But I like to go through things really slowly, with a lot of detail. And so John 3:16 begins like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So we hear in this verse, not only did Jesus the Son take on the difficulties of human life, but we also see that God as the Father, he knew what it was like to experience true loss. God as the Father, he gave up his only Son. And this was a sacrifice that he was willing to make because he loves us. God the Father, he has a love that is not just a broad love for the entire world, but also a deep, intimate love for every individual person. God loved all the people of Israel. God loved the sinners and the tax collectors. He even loved those who crucified Jesus on the cross. God sent the Son for people who drive too slow in the left lane. And God sent the Son because he loves your great-granddaughter who hasn't even been born yet. God was willing to send his Son because he loves me and he loves you. I want you to hear that. And even when you don't feel known, even when you don't feel valued, And when you feel profoundly lonely, you can know and you can claim for yourself that you are loved. Now, I understand it's not always that easy. Perhaps we as human beings, we have this tendency to not accept the love that God has for us. Maybe no matter how many times God extends that love, no matter how many times God invites us to come home, we still push away. And you always will have this choice to accept or not accept. I come back to this feeling that I had when I first moved to Shalimar. And I remember thinking, I can't accept that this is home now. I can't convince myself that this is the new normal. And in fact, during that time, I had this sense of homesickness. In that moment, I couldn't believe that the friends that I would encounter, the people I would meet, would be comparable to the homes that I had claimed before. And while you extended your love to me, I couldn't trust that God had something better. I was not brave enough to accept this love that you and God shared. And as I looked back to these previous homes, I think I've found that the root of my homesickness is an inability to trust. And if I could narrow that problem down to one word, it is disbelief. I couldn't bring myself to believe that this is home. And when we look back to the scripture, if we take a broader look, we find that this entire passage is rooted in the context of disbelief. See, at the beginning of John chapter 3, Jesus encounters this man named Nicodemus. And he says, this is the concept of being born again. And Nicodemus pushes back a little. He says, how is it that a man can re-enter his mother's womb? And Jesus, he says, well, yeah, it's a metaphor. It's not supposed to be taken literally. And Nicodemus still just, he won't accept. He says, no, I still don't get it. Jesus, how can this be? And I imagine at this point of the story, Jesus comes alongside Nicodemus and he puts his hand on his shoulder and he says, you know, I love you, but if you can't understand this, how will you understand the greater things that I will share with you later on? And he gives him a taste of that truth. He follows up with this revelatory line. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes shall not perish. And so Nicodemus, he struggled with belief. And you and I, we also might struggle with disbelief. And I think disbelief is a behavior that causes us to perish. When we convince ourselves that we are alone, that we are unknown, that we are unwelcome and unloved, this is an attitude that causes us to be unable to accept God's love. But God has something better. God promises something better for us. He says that you are loved, you are known and valued. And he invites all of us to come home to us. If you didn't know, this is how the entire verse goes from start to finish. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Those who believe will one day be at home, living together in this perfect harmony with God. those who believe will be invited to come into eternity, beyond the boundaries of time itself, and we will be invited to call that place home. When you think about it, this verse, John 3:16, it's like the entire Bible story in a nutshell. When we look at the entire Bible from start to finish, what we find is God's story is a story of homecoming. It's a beautiful story. It's like the story that Jesus has shared with us of a prodigal son who went away from his father. And for a time, his life was extravagant, and then it began to fall apart. At the story's end, the son returns to the father, and the father runs to him and embraces him. It's a very happy ending, and it reflects our ending too. This is our story, the story of God and his beloved people. There's an awesome author, and her name is Sandra Richter, and she puts it this way. We could summarize the entire plot line of the Bible into one cosmic question. How do we get Adam and Eve back into the garden? In Genesis 3, humanity was driven out. In Revelation 21 and 22, they are welcomed home. All throughout Scripture, we see God taking action to bring us back to him. We see that God makes covenant with us, that God gives vision and prophecy to his people. God sent the Son to live with us and to teach us truth. God sent the Holy Spirit to live within us and to comfort us and guide us and to empower us. And in the very end, at the end of the book, God will return in the form of Christ, never again to depart from us. This is the true homecoming. This is the reunion between God and his people. And Sandra Richter calls this the final intent for humanity. In the grand scheme of God's story, you and me, we may find ourselves between the trees. And here's what I mean by that. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve were in a garden. And at the center of that garden, where they lived together with God, was a tree. A tree that perhaps we shouldn't have touched. And at the end of the Bible, in the very final chapter, there's another garden, and there's another tree. And this, again, is a place where we as humanity will live in perfect harmony with God. And so this time that we occupy, almost all of our history, from the beginning to the end, is this time between the trees. It's a time where we are separated from God. We were once home. And as we look to the future, we believe that we will be at home with God again. And in this time between, perhaps maybe we get a little bit homesick. And I want to ask you this question. How will you spend this time between the trees? How can you make this place and this time your home? How can you make this church and this community and this world a home for others? How can you know and claim God's love for you? And how will you share that love with others? If it's okay, I want to borrow a phrase that we introduced a few months ago in a previous sermon series. That phrase is the deeds of shalom. These were some ideas that we pitched, some ideas for you to show kindness and by the definition of the word shalom, some ideas for you to make people whole again. I hope that even though I don't have some slips of paper to hand you, that you will consider these deeds of shalom once again. That you can find during this Advent season some simple ways to show God's love for the people you encounter. Maybe after church tonight, you will introduce yourself to a new friend. Maybe you'll find a group of people that's not like you. And just as Jesus came and incarnated himself into this world to walk alongside us, maybe you will incarnate yourself into that new group and walk alongside them in fellowship. Maybe you will find that person who feels adrift, and you will be able to give them the reassurance that they need, and you will be able to welcome them home. So we say, praise be to God. Thank you for this great homecoming that we anticipate during the Advent season. Thank you, God, that you have made a place for us in this world and beyond. Thank you, God. We look forward to being with you in eternity. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you have given us this sense of home, a sense of belonging and love. We thank you especially in the Advent season that you have given us your Son. And God, you have brought peace to the world, a world that may not have known you otherwise. God, you are good. Help us to remember that. Help us to be expectant of you. We love you and we offer you our praise. Amen.
Of time, foundations of the earth and sky, you saw it all and said that it was good. The joy was set before your eyes, you knew that you would give your life, you saw it all and said that it was good. His final breath, he tore the
Friends, would you receive ascending prayer before we close tonight? Gracious God, we thank you that just as you have sent your Son to this place that we call home, that you now send us out. God, that you have prepared a way for us. God, that you have given us the Spirit to empower us. May we have the courage to make this a good home for others. And God, would you sustain us as we wait upon our eternal and final homecoming? This we pray in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to serve the Lord.